For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so always remember to set your dial. We are always bringing you a wide variety of topics related to health and wellness. Today is absolutely no exception. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week, so don't forget to tune in to her show. I was looking at the upcoming schedule for the next few weeks, and we have some phenomenal guests lined up, really have some great topics, and today, of course, is no exception. Today's topic, we've breached this issue before a few times on the show. I don't think ever with somebody with such expertise as a special guest. Today we're going to be turning our sights more to our furry four-legged friends. Most of the time here on the show we're discussing health and wellness issues as they specifically apply to human health because that is what most people are interested in. But as we know, many, many people have companion animals, dogs and cats and several other varieties of animals we welcome into our home and into our lives to keep us company. And today's show is really going to be focused on their health and looking at how natural therapies, specifically homeopathy and nutrition, can really play out in providing a really important piece of healthcare for our pets and for our animals, just as alternative and holistic therapies play an important role for us. I learned this firsthand in my naturopathic training, where I was a second-year student, and I am a dog lover and had a dog, and he was having some GI issues, and I brought him to a holistic vet, which I had never been to before, and was just amazed at how they approached his issues versus a regular veterinarian. And it was similar to the experience that got me into natural medicine, where when myself was experiencing health issues and had gone to a conventional doctor and received a recommendation for some type of pharmaceutical agent, or wasn't a whole lot of deep questioning about what the underlying cause of my condition was, whereas the naturopathic and holistic side really understood it, the veterinary experience was the same thing. They took a lot of time to understand my animal, to understand what factors may have led to the presentation of his symptoms. They discussed things with me like nutrition, like homeopathy, like supplements, and it just made perfect sense. And lo and behold, of course, my dog had a phenomenal response to the veterinary intervention from the holistic perspective, and it was just a, from that point forward, it really made a lot of sense. So I want to introduce my special guest because he's going to have a lot to say on this topic, and I want to give him plenty of time to share his expertise with you. Dr. Richard Pekarin graduated with a BS and DVM degrees from the University of California, Davis in 1965. Entering private practice in Southern California, he worked with both small animals, farm livestock, and zoo animals. In 1967, he accepted a position at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, as assistant professor. This was followed by a full-time attendance in graduate school with a major in microbiology and immunology and a minor in biochemistry. This work completed in 1972 with a Ph.D. degree. Following this, Dr. Pekarin worked as a faculty member at WSU, then re-entered private practice at a variety of clinics in Oregon and California, including several years at the Monterey County SPCA in Monterey, California. Beautiful place. In 1982, the first edition with his wife, Susan, Dr. Pekarin's Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats was published. It is now in its third edition as of 2005. In 1985, he moved to Eugene, Oregon to establish the Animal Natural Health Center, a practice devoted solely to the use of homeopathy and nutritional therapy for animals. In 1992, following several years of teaching workshops in homeopathy, the professional course in veterinary homeopathy was established for licensed veterinarians. This is a 130-hour classroom course, which meets 5 times over the year and is accredited by the Academy of Veterinary and Homeopathy. There are homework and case assignments. Completion of the course qualifies a student to enter the certification process of the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy. By 2009, 14 classes and over 450 veterinarians have been trained in homeopathic practice by Dr. Pekarin. By 2009, he has taught 125 four-day seminars in homeopathic medicine. In 1995, Dr. Pekarin co-founded the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy, the first professional organization of practicing veterinary homeopaths in the United States. In 2006, Dr. Pekarin retired from a full practice and moved to Sedona, Arizona, and established the ANHC education programs dedicated to educating veterinarians in the proper use of homeopathy in clinical practice. He continues to be active in teaching, consulting, and writing in the area of homeopathic medicine and healing of disease. Dr. Pekarin, that is a very impressive bio. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, Kevin. It impressed me as well.
It's amazing all the things you've achieved in your career, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, a lot of years.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've kept yourself very busy. So I would love for you, I mean, you have such an amazing educational history. I mean, not only, you know, did you get your bachelor's of science and your, veterinary degree, but then you went on to do this PhD in microbiology and immunology and biochemistry, which really, you know, from my standpoint, when I look at natural medicine and I look at understanding how to really address the underlying causes of a disease and to really support the body's health path towards healing, issues like immunology and biochemistry really become the cornerstone. And, it's rare that somebody's gone on past the biochemistry and immunology and microbiology you get in a medical program to get another PhD. So, I mean, your training, I think, is really speaks for itself. And I would love for you to kind of explain your evolution from getting out of veterinary school, looking at just standard models of veterinary practice for animals, and how that turned into this idea that maybe there was something else, maybe there was another better way to augment or to supplement basically traditional veterinary approaches, because I think that will hopefully tell a lot about, why this medicine is so useful in animals.
Sure, sure. I'll give you briefly my little path there, my transition, so to speak. And you may relate to this yourself, perhaps, but when I went through veterinary school, of course, the training I had was very good and presented in very positive terms, as, for example, that you will encounter this particular disease and here is the treatment for it. And the implication, perhaps I was naive, but the implication was that it would simply work. And when I got out into practice and I was actually encountering these problems and doing the treatments I've been taught, sometimes it worked, but, you know, often it did not. And that was kind of a shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
We vary in our personalities, but for me, my conclusion was that I just didn't know enough. I had somehow missed something, I guess. So that was part of my reason for going back to school and having further education. And when I got to Washington State University and entered that program, immunology was very attractive to me because I thought that understanding the immune system would give me the knowledge I needed to have to really figure out, so to speak, how to solve these problems. And as I went along over the years doing that work, I began to think also that, fascinating as it was, I wasn't really getting the answers I was seeking. In the sense that immunology explains many things that happen, many things that go wrong in illness, but not so much how to fix it, if you follow my meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't really particular tools like, well, here's how you correct this immune problem.
Right.
So it left me still with some questions. And as I went through my experiences there, both in finishing the degree and then working for a while on the faculty, part of my impetus to go into practice was that I wanted to try to still figure out, if you will, how one might be better at restoring health. In kind of a general way, you understand. I didn't really know where I was going with that. I just kind of had the feeling that I still didn't have the answers I was seeking. And so I looked at when I was out again from academia, and I was in practice, and I was looking at quite a few things over the years, trying to understand if there was a better approach I could use. And one of the early things that I encountered was the importance of nutrition, which we'll probably talk about before we're done. And so that was a very eye-opening experience to me, and sort of opened my mind, if you will, to looking at other things, other possibilities. And so I explored, mind you, this was back in the 70s, so there really were not too many what we now call alternative medicine choices or modalities available. It was just beginning to some degree. But I did look at use of herbal medicine and Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and things like that. But when I encountered some of the ideas in homeopathy, that really intrigued me because it seemed to fit, in a way, at least in my mind, it sort of fit with what I'd learned in immunology about how the health could be restored. And so that kind of got me interested enough that I started to try it out and practice. And I was really quite amazed at some of the results. Just like you said in your introduction, some of the results you see are really kind of, it's kind of like, you know, think, what is this thing here that they're calling homeopathy, and does it really work? And then you try it out, and you're just like blown away, you know, like, oh my gosh, what happened there? So I had a few of those experiences, and that really snagged me, you know, so that I began to study it more seriously over the years. And so eventually, you know, I kind of really focused on that, and I stayed with it, and very slowly and gradually learned how to do it. There really was no training for me as a veterinarian in the use of homeopathy, so I had to pretty much learn it on my own through studying books and experience. So it was a gradual path, but I came to very much appreciate the value of both nutrition and homeopathy. Of course, there are other ways, obviously. Many ways you can approach health problems, but these were the two things that really fascinated me, kept me going.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting when, you know, some people arrive at that conclusion at a very early point in their career or at a very early point in their decision-making process. What I think is interesting and, you know, very respectable about how you got there is, you know, you sought answers from so many different places and did so much intensive study trying to get to the bottom and understand these processes of the body and how to correct them. And what we realize in the end a lot of times is we can study and understand why something might go wrong in the body, but the tools we have to actually address and fix it aren't always all that clear. And adopting some of these other modalities of healing really becomes the fundamental part of moving the body towards a more balanced state of health. And I've found that in my career, sometimes you think there might be a magic bullet, some new, whether it's a new drug that's developed or a new supplement or a new herb or a new something that comes out, it seems like it might be a way to bypass that problem or to reverse that problem in the body. But what I always end up understanding, what I always end up finding out, is it always comes back to the fundamentals. It always comes back to core nutrition and to lifestyle management and to stress management. And some of these issues that aren't as sexy as a lot of other issues really are at the fundamental piece of helping somebody restore health. And I would say homeopathy, the modality that you have decided to really focus your career on, I think more so than a lot of other modalities, also fundamentally focuses on restoring the body back to a balanced state. It's not just looking at suppressing or alleviating symptoms. It's truly about identifying a pattern in the body and really helping that body move towards a greater state of healing. So I think it's a really unique form of medicine. When we come back from the break, Dr. Pokharin, I would really like to discuss some of the core fundamental aspects of nutrition for animals, and then I definitely want to get into this homeopathy conversation because I think everybody, whether they're looking at a health issue for themselves or their animals, needs to understand more about homeopathy. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, From farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. Committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where GeroFormula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 bringing you a wide variety of topics related to health and wellness, and today, of course, is no exception. As I introduced in the first segment, today we are focusing on our four-legged furry friends here and discussing holistic and alternative therapies as they apply specifically to pets. I'm very, very excited to have our special guest on the phone. Dr. Richard Pikarin is basically a veterinarian who really has pioneered a lot of the work in holistic veterinary medicine in this country. He has certainly pioneered a lot of the work regarding using homeopathy in animals and has pretty much, as you heard in the extensive bio I read in the first segment, pioneered most of the classes and coursework that other veterinarians now take to become certified in homeopathy for animals, so veterinary to get certified in homeopathic medicine. So we are very fortunate to have him and his expertise on the show with us today. Now, I just want to remind everybody real quick, please don't forget about the wonderful resource we have. If you go to the Village Green website at www.myvillagegreen.com, this is the Holistic Pharmacy in Bethesda, Maryland that sponsors our show. We have all of our previously recorded shows available for you to download absolutely free, either in an MP3 format or as a podcast. It's a great resource. We've had amazing special guests on the show, so much great valuable information about health and wellness. I really encourage you guys to log on and to download those as a free tool of education for you. So, Dr. Pikarin, I want to get back to our topic at hand. In the last segment, I alluded to, in this segment, maybe talking about nutrition issues a little bit. And, you know, in humans, nutrition can be a little bit confusing. There's the South Beach diet, the Atkins diet, there's the low-fat diet, there's vegetarian diets, vegan diets. And everybody, depending on what you read, seems to have a different opinion about what's best for people. Now, I think the nutrition conversation is so incredibly avoided in animals. And I would love for you to share with us some of your experience and how you figured out in clinical practice how nutrition was so incredibly important for the health of animals and some of the key principles that you adhere to when it comes to providing good nutrition for animals, specifically dogs and cats.
Sure. It is kind of a confusing topic, isn't it? So let me tell you how I got into it, and in a position that excuse me, I came to, which is kind of more simplistic, I guess. It started really with my own health problems. I was in graduate school, as we talked about before, and developed some issues that were, you know, troublesome enough to interfere with my work. And so I ended up going the conventional route, you know, to saw an internal medicine specialist and so on, and did the, without going into details, you know, I did the program that was recommended and got worse. And so I finally felt like, well, I'm desperate enough. I've got to try to figure this out myself. And as part of what I was looking into was I was trying to see if I could improve my diet. I had been raised in such a way that we ate a lot of meat and fat and, you know, kind of a just basic American diet, I guess you would say, without any vitamins or anything. And so I began to read on my own about what I could do to help my problem with nutrition, and I gradually learned about it. The importance of some of these nutrients, all of which I should say was new to me, because in veterinary school there was really no training or education as to nutrition of animal. There was of livestock. Well, I had a course in the feeding of farm animals, the horses and cows, but as far as dogs and cats and other animals, there was really not much of anything. I think a 30-minute segment one year. So I really didn't know much about nutrition, and so as I gradually learned it and applied it to myself, I saw some positive changes, and that kind of then was an impetus for me to think about in practice. When I was back in practice, I thought, well, maybe some of these animals would be helped by nutrition. I had no idea, really, of this. I mean, you understand the importance of it for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, well, let me try introducing some supplements and try this and try that, and maybe it would help. And I was really kind of shocked at how much improvement there was with some of the small changes I was introducing. So that's a question that came up in my mind about that was, well, why does it make such a difference? You know, I mean, in hindsight, it seems obvious. Of course it makes a difference. But, I mean, at that time, I thought that what they were feeding, the commercial diets, were entirely adequate. That's what I've been taught. So, you know, it was kind of like, well, why should it make such a difference if the diets were already okay for them?
Mm-hmm.
So I began to read more thoroughly, gradually over the years, about both nutrition for animals as well as people, but also to investigate more what is actually in pet food, how is it made, what's its quality, and so on. So let me jump ahead to give more conclusions, because what I found out is that, first of all, one of the major factors that one should know about commercial pet food is that the quality of it is not necessarily very good. I'm speaking generally, not about a particular brand, but you know, mostly the reason pet food is as cheap as it is because the pet food, the sources that go into pet food are the byproducts of the human food industry, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if an animal has been slaughtered and is going through FDA inspection, and they find that the animal has, say, an infected liver or it has a tumor or something, that's taken away from the carcass so people won't eat it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's put into pet food.
Mm.
So a lot of the things that are in there are things that we wouldn't want to eat ourselves. And then also there's like stale food. And
they actually put diseased tissue in pet food?
It's entirely legal.
Mm.
So the things that they can't that there are laws about you can't put into human food. Of course, we know there are transgressions, but there are rules about it, you know, about keeping that stuff out of the human food chain. That can go into pet food. And so one of the problems is that the quality isn't necessarily very good. There can be byproducts, like grain byproducts. It's not the whole grain, but just part of it, the part that's left over, say the hull and so on. Chicken feathers, chicken feet, chicken beaks, that kind of thing. So that was really surprising to me to find out, first of all, that some of the ingredients were not very good quality, not very digestible. And then another aspect is that there can be a lot of contaminants in food. Again, for example, if a dairy cow has a mastitis, an infected udder, and it's given antibiotics by the dairyman, and it's not successful, and the cow is sent to slaughter. Well, the rules are that the liver of that cow cannot be used for human consumption because it's got some antibiotics in it. So it goes into pet food. So there are a lot of laws like that that are protecting people, but they're not protecting animals, you see.
Right.
And so there's a lot of contamination in pet food, a lot of chemicals and things. Well, now it's getting even more complicated in today's world. Now we've got genetically modified food. Now we have, foods that are coming from sources we don't even know what they do to health, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they've been changed. So what I came to as a philosophy or as a way to approach it is, let's try to use, first of all, this seems the obvious thing, is to use sources that are as natural as possible. Because I didn't think I was clever enough to figure out how to sort out, like you were saying at the beginning, how to sort out what is the best diet. I just went by what are the recommended guidelines for what nutritionists have learned about what animals need. Okay, let's use that as a guide and provide enough protein and fat and carbohydrates and so on. How can I construct a diet that comes from better quality sources? That was my first impetus. And then secondly, let's construct a diet in such a way to avoid as much as possible the contaminations that are in the environment or in food. And then thirdly, let's try to avoid some of these other things like genetically modified and so on. So the recipes I came up with that we've used the last 25 years or so in our practice that are in our book are designed with that in mind. So they are recommended as much as possible organic sources, using grains and vegetables and meats and then various natural supplements for vitamins and minerals like brewer's yeast and kelp and things like that. Well, I found that the results were astounding, really quite surprising. I didn't expect that. I mean, it's interesting, you sort of think, well, one objection might be, to me, somebody might say, oh, you're exaggerating, you expected that, therefore you saw it. It wasn't like that at all. I didn't expect it. I thought it might help a little, and it really kind of turned things upside down for me to realize how much effect it did have. As an example, I had in my practice, I was busy enough that I had a pretty long waiting list, and sometimes it'd be weeks or months before somebody could get in. And in the meantime, we would often hand out our recipes to them and say, well, start them on this because we're going to want you to do that anyway. And then when we would call them up and say, well, we have room for you now, they'd say, well, actually, they're okay now. They're healthy. So they didn't need to come in for treatment. So things like that, gradually I began to realize how important that is. And, as I say, quite surprising, quite a turned around my understanding of the importance of nutrition for health.
Now, can you share with us an example recipe for, let's say, and I'm going to be biased here because I have two of them at home, for a dog?
Just generally what's in it?
Yeah. Like, is the meat cooked? Do you recommend the meat be raw? Because I've done some of these homemade recipes for my pets before. Are you actually adding vegetables? Are they cooked? Are they raw? Are they cut up?
Yeah,
is it rice? I mean, what does it look like when you actually put the bowl down for the dog, and what kind of energy goes into, I don't know, just for me, it would be helpful to just share with everyone what a sample recipe might look like without getting too specific, but just in general.
Sure. Well, most of the recipe, as I said, I went by the guidelines that have been published by the National Academy of Sciences as to what the requirements are for animals in terms of different food groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was my wife and I worked up recipes that would provide that. In fact, we were even more generous. We assumed that what they suggest was probably rather minimal.
Right.
So we actually enhanced the amount of protein and fat and so on in the diet, knowing that was, compared to the wild, what the animals have in the wild, that was important. So we came up using that as a guideline. Then we used most of the recipes have some meat in them or some animal protein like eggs or cottage cheese or cheese and things like that,
mm-hmm.
along with some, many of them have grains in them, cooked grains. The grains have to be cooked because animals, dogs and cats, for example, have very short digestive tracts,
mm-hmm.
and they can't digest the grains unless they're broken up, unless the whole is broken,
mm-hmm.
and they're either soaked a long time or preferably cooked so that they're softened. And then and vegetables too. They can be sometimes just, you know, grated raw. Some vegetables can be, like, say, zucchini or something of that sort. But other vegetables need to be cooked as well so they can be digested. So the recipes generally will include some kind of animal protein, some kind of cooked grain, and some vegetables along with the supplements. We put together a supplement formula we call Healthy Powder. And it's got yeast and kelp and and some other things in it. And the recipes then call for that being added. That supplement formula is added to all the recipes.
Do you usually recommend the protein portion, the meat, be cooked or not? Because that's something that I've heard.
I think it can go either way. Okay. Some people are just uncomfortable with feeding raw. And I find that the benefits of feeding the better quality sources outweighs anything else. So if people don't want to feed it raw, that's fine with me. I say, go ahead, cook it. And cook it probably as lightly as possible because, as you know, the more you cook it, the more nutrition is compromised.
No, it's interesting because I have one dog that can seem to tolerate the uncooked, and another one of my dogs doesn't seem to tolerate it well. So it seems to be individualized.
Sure, it can vary with different animals, and it varies with what people are comfortable with. A lot of veterinarians are very upset with the idea of feeding raw meat. Though I think the concern is that there will be disease, there will be parasites and infections. But, you know, I can only say from my years of practice, I just didn't see those problems. So, you know, you hear a lot about salmonella, for example, and things like that. And we better not segue into that because that's a long discussion. I didn't find it to really be a problem. So either way, but I think probably feeding raw is a better nutrition if one can do it.
Well, it makes sense considering you would think, you know, I mean, these animals, evolutionarily speaking, have been designed to eat the food raw. They didn't, you know, dogs and cats didn't sit around and make campfires and grill up their meat that they would catch. It was always consumed raw.
That's right. Exactly so. But one difference is you have to also, in a way this relates to, there's been a movement more the last few years towards feeding a lot of raw meat and bones, what's called a raw food, raw meat and bone diet, barf diet, that kind of thing. And people see good results with that. Though I haven't been entirely comfortable with it myself because one thing is that the lifestyle is so different. You know, if you look at the way wolves exist in nature, for example, they say that they spend many hours a day running and hunting. They can travel, they've said, up to 100 miles a day looking for prey. Well, you compare that to your average dog sitting on the couch all day.
Yeah, it's very, very different.
If you feed the same diet, it's like you know, a human athlete diet compared to, say, the couch potato.
Right.
Well, it doesn't make sense to feed so much.
Yeah, Dr. Pekaram, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to pick up this conversation about nutrition. If people want to learn more about some of Dr. Pekaram's specific recipes, please get his book, Dr. Pekaram's Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats. It is chock full of all of these nutritional recipes specifically for dogs and cats. When we come back from the break, we're going to finish up the nutrition conversation and introduce this exciting topic of homeopathy. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered what a cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, a local health and wellness pharmacy operating out of Bethesda for over 40 years. They were one of the pioneers in health and wellness in the Bethesda, Maryland area. It is a wonderful resource. If you've never been, I encourage you to stop by. I am Dr. Kevin Passero hosting the show today. My wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be returning next week. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 bringing you topics related to health and wellness. If you've been listening today, you know that we are discussing health and wellness specifically as it relates to animals, specifically dogs and cats. And I have on the phone with me today the esteemed Dr. Richard Pikarin, who has pioneered much of the work in holistic veterinary care in the United States, specifically around homeopathy. And he has started all of the homeopathy programs that certify veterinarians in homeopathic practice. He's also written a book called Dr. Pikarin's Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats that was co-written with his wife that has unbelievable information in there around nutritional recipes for dogs and cats and basically just a complete guide for naturally caring for your dogs and cats in your home. So really a wonderful resource. I encourage everybody to get that book. In the last segment, we were wrapping up some stuff around nutrition. And Dr. Pikarin, I think you had a few things to say about nutrition before we move on to our next topic, which is homeopathy. So I would love for you to wrap up our conversation on nutrition with some last and final thoughts here.
Sure. I want to say a little bit more about this aspect of the pollutants and chemicals that are in food, because I think this is much more important than we have realized. What I mean is that if one is eating meat, whether human or animal, you're eating at the top of the food chain. And we know that the chemicals that are introduced into our environment, unfortunately there's many thousands of them, gradually build up as you move up the food chain until the highest levels are in animal tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeding your dog or cat high levels of meat, you're feeding the most contaminated food that you can find, unless you're feeding organic, which is almost impossible to find in most areas. And even then, you know, there are chemicals that are just widespread everywhere, whether it's organic or not. So one of the things we did in our recipes is we tried to give sufficient meat to meet the needs, but also introduce grains and vegetables to provide the calories needed to minimize the amount of introduction of chemicals into their bodies. And we could talk a long time about this, and I could give you examples of the problem, but I would like to just add to that part that it's extremely unlikely if your dog was affected by a buildup of toxins from food, say PCBs or dioxin or something like that. Almost impossible, I would say, that you could take your dog to a veterinarian that they would even think of it as a possibility.
Right.
It's just not discussed in the profession.
Just like it's not really discussed in the human health profession.
It's just almost like it doesn't exist.
Yep.
And so you could have a dog sick from these chemicals. They wouldn't know what the symptoms were, and they would be treating it with drugs to suppress the symptoms.
Right.
See?
And
The other aspect I wanted to bring out was a lot of people are feeding large quantities of meat and raw bones. Well, the problem, again, with bones in this country, in the U.S., is that they contain large amounts of heavy metals, particularly lead and mercury, also other metals as well, but the lead and mercury are the chief ones. And people should know that if you go down to a health food store and you were to buy a bone meal supplement for yourself, that bone meal supplement doesn't come from animals raised in the U.S. It's not legal to sell it that way. It's too contaminated.
Hmm.
And yet, people are feeding these bones in large quantities sometimes to their dogs and cats. Well, then again, you know, the lead that has been built up in our environment over decades of burning leaded gasoline is deposited in the tissues and bones. And again, veterinarians do not know how to recognize this problem. Mercury is an increasing problem because of the burning of coal,
mm-hmm.
which is spreading mercury all over the continent and into the oceans. And again, mercury poisoning isn't recognized by veterinarians either.
Yep.
So what I recommend in our recipes is that they get calcium sources from other than bones from U.S. animals. And there are a number of products we mentioned in our books that are tested for lead content that you can buy, bone meal supplements. And there's also a calcium supplement that's derived actually from seaweed. So you can avoid those problems. So I just want to bring that out because that's important for people to realize. So many people are saying, well, I just want to feed a natural diet or what they call a species-appropriate diet,
right.
sort of mimicking the wild, not realizing the problems we face in our contemporary society with these
sure.
issues.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I explain to people all the time, the average person consumes almost a ton of food a year, about 2,000 pounds of food every year. How could that not contribute to health? These issues. What is your food contaminated with? What kind of fats are in it? I mean, you don't consume anything more than food except for air. It's the only thing you consume more of than food for a human or an animal. So, I mean, you know, food has a very important impact on health for a variety of reasons beyond nutrition, as you just explained mm-hmm. in this aspect of contamination. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Dr. Pekarian. So let's talk a little bit about homeopathy, because this is an aspect of natural medicine where I think there is a good amount of confusion. And I have found it in my practice. People don't quite understand. They get the concept of herbs. They get the concept of vitamins and minerals. But don't always get this concept of homeopathy and what it is and how it's working and what it does. And I would love for you, you know, because, and this is applying to not just animal health, but human health as well, because homeopathy obviously reaches into all aspects of healthcare, animals and humans. Being such an expert in homeopathy, maybe you can help explain to people what homeopathy is and how it works. And then once you establish that context, maybe talk about how it applies to the animal world so well.
Sure, sure. Well, the first thing maybe to bring out is that homeopathy is not a new age system of medicine. It's not new. It's actually over 200 years old. It started in Europe, in Germany, what's now Germany, at that time by a medical doctor based on some discoveries he made. What I hear so often now, as you were saying, is people kind of categorize it as either new age or, surprisingly, as Eastern medicine. Many veterinarians will talk about they practice Western and Eastern, and they put homeopathy in Eastern. Well, of course, it has nothing to do with the East. But the thing about homeopathy to understand is that it's not using medicines to in the same way as we think of medicines or drugs acting conventionally. That is, when you go to a doctor or a veterinarian and you're given a drug, it's expected that it's going to act on a physical basis or chemical basis, physiologically in the body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change something. It's going to either, like if it's an anti-inflammatory, well, it's going to block the body's immune system for producing inflammation. Or if it's a bacterial infection, it's going to the antibiotic is going to attack the bacteria and kill it. Homeopathic medicines don't do those things. They're given in very small quantities. They're not intended in any way to act on a physical level. But what they do is they act as stimulants. So let me go back for a moment and say how it was discovered, and that would make more sense. The doctor that came up with it, his name is Hahnemann, Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, found in his studies that if you have a patient with certain symptoms and you use a medicine that in healthy people would produce very similar symptoms, that when that is given to that sick person, it acts in a way to stimulate their body to respond more vigorously than before to the condition. So what it does is it harnesses the natural healing ability that's already there. So rather than the medicine acting on its own, like a conventional drug does, acts physically or chemically, and it's doing the action, so to speak, you know, circulating in the blood and having effects on the tissues, the homeopathic remedy is actually activating the system that's already in place that has to do with recovery from illness. So the medicines are used usually briefly in small doses, to stimulate that response so that the body then can heal itself on its own. So you'll hear the term sometimes that homeopathic medicine are based on using similar medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's referring to. You use a medicine that will produce very similar symptoms in that patient. That information has been obtained ahead of time, of course. We have reference books to tell us what the medicines do. And so when we're presented with a case, we very carefully take down the symptoms of the patient, and then we find the medicine that matches that, and that's what we give to them.
Very, very interesting way of approaching, and it's definitely different, as you mentioned, than the traditional approaches, whether it's using an herb or a drug to sort of augment the body's physiology or to introduce a new chemical that might alter biochemistry or physiology. We're giving what, as you describe, sort of a almost like an energetic push to the body to mm-hmm. balance back to a state of equilibrium and really harnessing that innate ability of the body to heal. It is a very intricate, elaborate form of medicine, and really is extremely powerful when applied correctly. And, you know, in my experience, it works across the spectrum I have seen in humans. But as I have seen in my experience, it is some people are more amenable to getting dramatic results with homeopathy. And I see that in children, and I've seen that in pets. There seems to be something about their energy or the fact that they are younger and haven't accumulated the biotoxins in different layers of emotional trauma and other traumas and other layers of an onion, as you will say. So their response to homeopathy and their vital force, their ability of their body to move towards a state of health is so incredibly vibrant. And just giving sometimes that little energetic push can manifest with major improvements and major changes of health. And I see it day to day in my office. And Dr. Pekarin, you obviously saw it day to day in yours. We're going to take a very quick break just because we absolutely have to. And when we come back, Dr. Pekarin, I just want you to spend the rest of the show talking about your experiences with homeopathy in the animal world, working with dogs and cats, and give us some examples, maybe some case examples, and share with us why and how this is such a powerful medicine for helping our animals. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we will be right back.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, these next few months are going to be delivering amazing shows related to health and wellness, so don't forget to tune in. We have some phenomenal guests, just like today. We are so honored to have on the phone with us today Dr. Richard Pikarin, who has been sharing with us his vast clinical and academic experience in the holistic and natural health care for animals, specifically dogs and cats. He's a veterinarian with a very rich academic history and training, coupled with a passion for finding better ways to help animals, which led him down the road of investigating nutrition and homeopathy in treating animals. So in the last segment, we introduced this concept of homeopathy, and Dr. Pikarin helped us understand a little bit more about the principles and the concepts of homeopathic medicine. In this segment, and we don't have a ton of time left, Dr. Pikarin, I'd love for you to just elaborate on some of your experiences in your, you know, many years of practice using homeopathy with animals. You should share some case examples, maybe give people some resources of where they can find veterinarians that have completed the certification courses that you have pioneered for becoming certified in homeopathy, and just help us understand how this practice applies a little bit better to the veterinary world.
Sure. I'd like to do that. I was thinking, if I may, just add a little bit more about so people can understand the homeopathic viewpoint, so to speak, what we as practitioners think about treatment, in the sense that I said before about how the difference between using a homeopathic remedy to stimulate the body's natural healing versus a drug that blocks a symptom. And, you know, it's not often realized, you know this, but many people don't realize that the drugs that are often used in treatment are really not meant to restore health. They're meant to prevent the body from expressing its symptoms. So that if you have an for example, if a dog has allergies, skin allergies, then it's put on prednisone, typically. What that is a corticosteroid, it basically shuts down the immune system. That's its function. And shutting down the immune system so it can't show any symptoms of allergies is in no sense curing it. All it's doing is preventing it from expressing itself. It's in the same way, say, somebody has behavior that's not considered desirable, then you give them a drug so they don't have that behavior anymore. All you've done is block it. So we that do homeopathy, when we give the medicine, what we see and what we expect is the health actually is restored. We actually strengthen the patient so that their health, their mechanism of maintenance is improved. And we see that the treatment with drugs, and what that is actually, is in a sense, when I put it like this, that using the drug to block the symptom doesn't take away the desire, if I can put it into words, it doesn't put away the desire the body has to produce those symptoms. So in other words, if the prednisone is stopped, the dog's going to develop its allergy symptoms again.
Right.
It's not like developed it again. That's not the right way to put it. It never went away.
Right.
It just was blocked.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the drug's taken away, there it is, because it was never removed. So we see the drug treatment oftentimes, the limitation of it and why people are frustrated with it, is it really doesn't solve the underlying problem. So in homeopathy, we have a different goal. We have a different way of understanding the patient and a different way, which we could go into. But let's move on to some example cases maybe would be interesting to people. I'll give you, first of all, maybe an animal case briefly, which I had that I actually wrote up as an article, so I have it in mind. I was contacted by another veterinarian who had adopted some puppies, four puppies, from a litter, and they were purebred Bordeaux puppies. And what happened in this situation was that the mother dog had been in a shelter, an animal shelter while she was pregnant. And then she gave birth, and then the dog was adopted. But then, after maybe because of the experience of being in the shelter, I don't know, but the mother dog became aggressive, and the puppies couldn't be left with her. So this other veterinarian adopted the four puppies. The mother was left with the other family. And she was raising them by bottle feeding with a formula. And that went all right until they got to be about 4 weeks old, and it was time to wean them to solid food. And when the attempt was made to do that and to feed some, she fed some pork and some, you know, in the right formulation, but I mean she fed some solid food as opposed to the milk formula. And this first dog that I was asked to help with couldn't handle it, and the symptoms were this, that when given the solid food, he would start vomiting, or it would start coming up through his nose, or he would start choking and shake his head, and then sneezing the food and anything else he'd been given, milk or whatever, out through his nose with moaning and drooling and gulping like he couldn't breathe. So it was fairly intense what was happening. So she contacted me about treatment, which we did with homeopathy, and the dog did recover and was able to eat solid food under the homeopathic treatment. It took about a month where he got better right away, but, you know, he had some symptoms again after a couple of weeks. Not so bad, but he started having some sneezing and other things, so we gave a different remedy. But by the time that month was out, he was able to eat foods normally. The other dog in the litter, another one in the litter, started to develop the same problem, interestingly enough. In fact, three of them did before we were done with it. The second one wasn't quite as bad, but it did develop very much the same symptoms, and so we treated that one as well. And the third one didn't have symptoms badly enough to need treatment, and the fourth one didn't have any symptoms. So basically, the two animals are treated with homeopathy. That's all they were given. No other medication, no other drugs. And the interesting thing about it, a different aspect of it, was first of all, that it was as simple as giving three homeopathic remedies, single doses, mind you. It wasn't like it was repeated, like a drug would be given for days. It was just they were given one dose each time, and then they would improve for a week or two until the next thing was indicated, and then they get one more dose, you see. So the first dog I was talking about had three doses in total. No other treatment or medication, no antibiotics or any other drugs were given. And he now is full grown and in fine condition, acting normal. So what's interesting about it is how simple the treatment was, number one. Only three doses of homeopathic remedy was given. And you think about the alternative.
Yep.
If the dog had been taken to a conventional veterinarian, we can assume probably given antibiotics, given some kind of antacid, some kind of maybe Reglan, maybe given steroids, I don't know. It's hard to say.
You never know.
But a lot of things.
Yep.
And it would have been really quite expensive,
yep.
You can imagine. We're probably talking hundreds of dollars, I would think.
Oh, yeah. You? Oh, definitely. Well, Dr. Pekarm, we have to wrap up. I'm so sorry. We've hit the minute mark, and it's time to wrap it up. But thank you so much for sharing that story.
Can I add one sentence?
Go ahead. Yep.
So the total cost to the veterinarians for this was $104, and the cost of the medicine was about $2.
Yeah. The cost effectiveness of all natural therapy, specifically homeopathy, can be absolutely astounding considering that the cost of the preparations of these medicines is very low and the fact that you're not going with regular visits all the time. So, Dr. Pekarm, thank you so much. Please, everybody, I know we have to cut it short and I'm so sorry. If you want to learn more about Dr. Pekarm's work, please buy his book, Dr. Pekarm's Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats. Dr. Pekarm, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday, 10 o'clock. Tune in. This is Dr. Passero wishing you all the best of health.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.